would like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn to the book of Acts. I would like to read from Acts chapter 20. The subject that's on my heart tonight is the subject of giving and taking. Probably of those two subjects, giving and taking, which one would you say that you know the most about, giving or taking? Not which one do you like the most, but which one do you know the most about? Okay, most everybody's saying taking. Frankly, if you had asked me to talk about what God's Word has to say about us taking things, I would have had much more trouble thinking about the things that God's Word says to take than I would the things that God's Word says to give. I probably do more taking and receiving than I do giving, but I could give you plenty of scriptures. I know what I ought to do about giving. So I want us to study for just a few minutes tonight on giving, and then after we try to be reminded from the Word of God about giving, then I hope the Lord will help us to understand that there are things that we are to take. The Word of God talks about us taking things from the Lord. Now, I think that all of you understand that doesn't mean that we take it in the sense that we steal it away from God or anything like that, but there are things that we need that God has provided for us, and yet God doesn't just impart those things to us, but He says, now, here they are, and you're to come and take those things. So there are a lot of things that God says that we need to take, and I believe that many times that we're not taking the things that God has provided for us that we need. We're going to be looking at giving and taking. In Acts chapter 20, if you will, notice verse 35, Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, the Word of God says Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, the Word of God says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I think that probably when it comes to the subject of giving, that's one expression that all of us know. The Word of God says that the Lord said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The flesh doesn't believe that. I think the flesh desires to receive rather than to give. But the Word of God says, and the truth is, that there are greater blessings in giving if you can feel the presence of God, if you can feel God leading you, if you know that God's Word says that you're to be giving, and then you do what God's Word tells you to do, you'll realize and you'll know greatly and assuredly that there are more blessings in giving than in receiving. And the Word of God tells us that we need to give willingly. Sometimes we give grudgingly. I'm not talking about just giving to the church, but talking about any capacity of giving. The Word of God tells us that we're to give in a lot of different ways. There are a lot of different categories of people that the Word of God talks about giving to, and talks about the way that we ought to give. You remember how Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount that when we do give, if we give alms to men, that we're not to do that by sounding a trumpet and telling everybody what we've done, but when you give to someone, you're to give not letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You're to give in secret, and your Father, which seeth in secret, will reward thee openly. So we need to give. We need to give the way that Jesus taught us to give. That is, we're to give willingly, and we're to give in secret. The Word of God also teaches, notice in Luke chapter 6, just a moment, about the capacity of giving that we ought to have in our lives. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, sometimes when we give, have any of you ever opened up your billfold and maybe felt that you ought to give somebody something and opened it up and found that the only thing that was there to give was maybe a 20, and maybe you only wanted to give them a 5 or a 10, but all you had was a 20. How many of you have ever wanted to maybe even a waitress at a restaurant or someone else, maybe the Lord's touched your heart to give them something, and yet when you opened up your billfold or you looked in your pocketbook that you found, well, I don't want to give that much. I want to give, but I don't want to give till it hurts. Well, God's Word teaches that we need to be giving in a great way. I think that there are great gifts. The more you give, the greater blessing that you'll receive in giving. As long as you can do it willingly and out of a desire to thank God for His goodness in your life. There's a great gift in giving. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, the Word of God says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again." In other words, if you give, another way that the Word of God expresses it, is if you give sparingly, you'll what? You'll reap sparingly. But if you give bountifully, you'll reap also bountifully. And most of you have probably experienced occasions when you were in a bind and yet you felt led to give somebody something and you gave, and then sometimes, God doesn't always do this, but sometimes God will give you back in a financial way. Sometimes God has given you when you gave in a time that you had a need, but you went ahead and gave because God led you to do that. You've often found that the Lord would give in a miraculous and a bountiful way. Now, money is not the only thing that we have to give. And in fact, I would say that money is not the most important thing to give. I think that children and people, I think that people from the nursing home and many other people, I think the most important thing that we can give them is to give them love and give them our time. There are many, many different ways that you can give to help people, and people need to know that you love them. That's the way that you determine the amount of love that a person has for people, is how much they're giving. That's the way you determine the love of God. For God so loved the world that He what? That He gave His only begotten Son. He gave the greatest gift that could ever be given. He gave His only begotten Son. And if you want to know how much you love people, then you start looking at how much you're giving to people and how much you're doing for other people. That will help you realize that's a good barometer, that's a good gauge, that's a good measuring stick. If you want to know how much you really love God and how much you really love His people, you look at how much you're giving, because that's going to be in direct correlation with how much you love them and how much you love God. So may God help us to give, and give willingly, and give in a way that is pleasing to Him. And not just give money, but in fact, I would say that sometimes that's the least important thing to give, is money. Sometimes we just throw money and say, well, here, I'll give this, but you need to give your time and your energy and give love to people. Now, you remember how Jesus began to judge in Matthew chapter 25. The Word of God talks about how the Lord came and began to judge, and He said, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. For I was an hungered, and ye what? I was hungered, and ye what?" What's the next word there? "I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat." You gave me meat. "I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink." He talks about how they gave there, and they said, "Lord, when saw we thee a hunger or thirsty and gave thee? When have we ever given to you?" And all of us need to understand that in your giving, you're to give as unto the Lord and not unto men. That if you give someone a glass of water in the name of a prophet, if you give them something because you're thinking about the privilege of giving to Christ, then God honors that in a very special way. The Word of God says that we're not just to give to people that we love and people that are our friends. The Word of God says that be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. We need to give to strangers. Give to people that cannot give back to you. Give to people in such a way that they cannot return anything to you. Give. Give to strangers. The Word of God even says that we're to give to our enemies. In Proverbs chapter 25, the Word of God says, if thine enemy is hungered, if he's hungry, give him meat. If he's thirsty, give him drink. And sometimes we want to be very careful about who we give to, and we want to give to family, we want to give to friends, and give to those that we love. The Word of God teaches that the people of God, in giving, they're to give to many other people besides those that we are very close to. Now, the main thought that's on my heart tonight is taking, about what the Word of God has to say about us taking things. And let me first say this, that I think it's important that if someone wants to give you something, even if you don't feel a great need at that particular time in your life, even if all you do is take what they've given you and you let them know how much you appreciate them giving you that, if they feel led to give you something, you receive what they're offering you. And then if you want to go and give it to someone else because you don't need it right then, that's fine, well and good. But the person that does the giving, you should never deprive someone that wants to give, you should never deprive them of that privilege of giving. So if someone wants to give you something, I know early in my ministry that was one thing that bothered me the most is, sometimes a widow lady that I knew had very little would come up and say, Brother Mullis, I want you to take this dollar or this $2 or $5. I want you to take this. I felt led to give you this. And I would always say, no, I don't want your money. I've got more money than you do. I don't need your money. You need that. Worse than I need that. And someone told me that heard me do that, say, you are depriving that individual of the privilege of giving. And taught me that you let them give. Even if you anonymously turn around and you give them back that money or you give it to someone else, don't ever deprive someone that feels led to give. Don't deprive them. In other words, you need to be willing to receive. Now, in Proverbs, I want you to look at, Psalms, in Psalm 116. I want you to look at some things now that God has for His people, that God has set up, that He teaches us, that we're to take those things. There are a number of times in the Word of God that God tells us, now, take this, take it. Now, doesn't that imply that He doesn't just automatically impart that gift to you, but rather that you have it available to you, but you're to take that gift. In Psalm 116, look in your Bibles, please, at Psalm 116. Look at verse 13. Psalm 116 and verse 13. The psalmist says in Psalm 116 and verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. He says here, that's the first thing I want us to think about. The psalmist says, I will take the cup of salvation. Now, I believe that taking the cup of salvation can have a number of different meanings. One thing that it can mean is that when you take the cup of salvation, you're sitting down and meditating and thinking about the goodness of what God has done in saving you from your sins. And you need to drink from that cup of salvation. You need to think about how marvelous it is and how wonderful it is that God has saved you from your sins, that you were unworthy of being saved. You never did anything to be delivered by God, and that God chose you before the foundation of the world. And that He chose a people so great that no man can number out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and family and tribe. And He sent His only begotten Son into the earth, and Jesus died and saved His people from their sins. And we need to daily take from the cup of salvation. We need to think about and drink the sweet truths connected with our eternal salvation. But I believe that we also need to be thinking about the daily salvations that God has brought into our lives. And I don't think that we think enough about how God has saved, is saving, and will save us. And we need to take the cup of salvation. Everything that we're going to look at in God's Word tonight, where God says to take something, in every single instance, God's people will miss many blessings if they don't do what God's Word's telling them to do. I think that we miss many blessings when we don't take the cup of salvation, when we don't take the time to sit down and think about, meditate, and read about what God has saved us from. We miss great joys and privileges and blessings because God has given us that truth, but we're not taking the cup of salvation. And I pray that God will help you and me. I pray especially that God will help me to take. I do not believe that I drink enough from the cup of salvation. I don't think I think enough. I don't think I meditate. I don't think I rejoice enough in the fact that God has saved me. And we need to be taking. In other words, what I'm saying is, I don't do what God's Word tells me to do right here. I don't take the cup of salvation like I should. And I need to be taking the cup of salvation. Look further in your Bibles. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. We're talking about not just giving now. We're talking about taking and the fact that God has provided many things for us, and they are there for our taking. Now, brethren, our eternal salvation is not something God has offered to us. Eternal salvation is nothing that has ever been offered to any man. Eternal salvation is the work that God has done for His people. But we need to be meditating on that, taking the cup of salvation. Now, in Proverbs chapter 4, listen please to verse 13. Here's something else that God says that we should take from Him. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 13. The Word of God says, "Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." What is thy life? Instruction, knowledge, the truth of God's Word. Take instruction. I believe that God often would instruct us and would teach us, but we're not taking instruction. We're not learning from God. There are many things that we can learn from God. When Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28, He says, Take my yoke upon you and what? Learn of me. Now what's He saying right here? Learn. Take the cup of instruction. Take fast hold of instruction. Take instruction. Do you think you know it all? You think you already know it all? Or do you think you need to take instruction from the Lord? The Spirit of God will teach us. The Word of God tells us that Jesus spoke to His apostles before He left this earth. And He said that when the Holy Spirit came, that He would lead them into all truth. But I want to ask you this question. Do you think that when the Holy Spirit came, that He began to sit those people down and drill a hole in their head and teach them? Or do you think that He set instruction out there and they had to go and ask for instruction? Brethren, I believe with all of my heart that God's people have instruction offered to them, and instruction is there for them. And then God says, now, take instruction. It's here. Learn what I will teach you. What does it take to take instruction? Well, it takes some prayer and study. A lot of prayer and study. And God will instruct you. God will teach you from His holy word. Why don't we know more? Because we're not taking instruction that God has provided for us. Go further in your Bibles. Look at the book of Isaiah. Here's something else that God's word says that we're to take. In Isaiah chapter 27. Isaiah chapter 27 and verse 5. Isaiah chapter 27 and verse 5. The Word of God says in Isaiah 27 and verse 5, "Or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. Listen, He says, let him take hold of my strength. Has God provided strength for you that sometimes you don't take hold of His strength? I believe that He does. I believe that's what the Word of God is talking about in Hebrews chapter 4 when the Word of God says, let us come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Now that grace to help in time of need, that grace to help, that strength that God gives us. Divine strength is something that we need to take from the Lord. And what happens to God's people if they don't take strength from the Lord? They'll perish. You'll die. Because without the Lord's strength, the Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 6, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How do you get strong in the Lord? You take divine strength. You take the strength that God has provided for you. Why are we so weak sometimes in our fighting the devil? Why are we so weak in our stands that God would have us to take? It's because we're trusting in our own strength instead of taking the strength that God has provided for us. If we don't take the cup of salvation, that's the first thing that I mentioned that we needed to take. If we don't take the cup of salvation, we will never be appreciating salvation like we ought to. We'll never be as thankful. One or two that have prayed today have prayed, God, help me to have a thankful heart. Did you know that when you take the cup of salvation, you will have a thankful heart because you're going to be thinking about all the things that God has delivered you from and is delivering you from. Take the cup of salvation. Take divine strength. Take it. It's there for us. Notice in closing, go to Revelation chapter 22. And I know that you're all familiar with this scripture, but it still is important because if we're not taking the things that God has told us to take, if we don't realize, and that's the point I wanted to try to set forth tonight, is that I have not realized enough that God's Word tells me over and over and over that God's saying, now here it is, take this. And I haven't scratched the surface on the number of things that God says for us to take, but I pray that God will help every one of us to begin to take the things that we know we should be taking from the Lord. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, the Word of God says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him, what? Let him take the water of life freely. Why don't we take the water of life? How often do we take the water of life? Are we sometimes just sitting down and waiting on God to bring us the water of life and open our mouths and pour the water of life down our throat? That's not the way God typically does it. He says, you come, and the Spirit says, come, and the bride says, come, and they say, come, and whosoever will, take the water of life freely. We're not taking the water of life. We're not taking the Holy Spirit. We're not taking instruction. We're not taking divine strength. And we're not taking the cup of salvation. I think there are many things that God has provided for His people that are just being neglected. Because we're not taking, and it may be because of ignorance, but I hope that when you leave here tonight that you'll understand there are many things that God has provided for you that He said, now here it is, you come take it. Come take it. May God help us is my prayer for Christ's sake.